You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. And Happy New Year! It is the 1st of January. As usual, we in Australia got it slightly before most other people, but we're used to that. The weather's fine. You know, unseasonably warm or hot or cold, depending on where you are. Okay, our current serial is Let Sleeping Princes Lie, which is the third novella in the Castle Charming series. If you want to catch up on the previous adventures of these characters, check out Glass Slipper Scandal and Dance Princes Dance right here on the podcast. You can also read those stories as ebooks, available across many formats and platforms, or download them as part of the story bundle you get when you subscribe to my Patreon. Okay, Let Sleeping Princes Lie, Part 11. Read all about it. "It's better this way," said Camilla, as she unwarded her tower and led the way inside. Dennis, holding Kai's unconscious body in his arms, followed her in, although part of him just wanted to take off, smuggle Kai out of this damn city. He knew the mountains well enough. Could survive out there for months if he had to, but that wouldn't help. Much as he hated it, he needed to be here, if he was going to find a cure for Kai. Dennis refused to believe that the princes were right, that there was no cure. Kai was still warm in his arms. They'd battled magic before and beaten it. "Better for who?" he asked, when Camilla glanced back, seeking some kind of response to her platitude. "No one can set foot in here without me, unless they're related by blood," she explained, "and you'll be able to visit him more easily than if we kept him in the castle. As long as you give me permission, Your Highness," Dennis said cynically. She gave him an impatient toss of her head. "For someone who swore his body in service to our family, you don't seem to like us very much." "I like you fine," he said shortly. He didn't trust them, though, especially with people they didn't see as important. "It's not my job to like you, it's my job to protect you," he added. "Him too now," Camilla said, her face softening as she looked at Kai. "Always him," Dennis muttered. "Him before you, lady," he didn't say. The princess headed up the stairs to the room where her mother was kept. Dennis followed her, still holding Kai in his arms. She stopped in the doorway, looking at the wide glass artwork of curlicues and spirals. "I suppose there's room for both of them," she said. "Was she kidding with this?" "No," Dennis said sharply. "He's never even met her." Camilla opened her mouth as if to argue the point, then shut it again. "Fine," she sighed. "Wait here. I have bed things upstairs from when I used to live here. I'll bring them down." Left alone for a moment, Dennis moved to the only other piece of furniture in the room, a wide armchair, presumably used by the Queen's children when they visited. He sank into it, folding Kai's sleeping form over his lap like it was any other day, like he was going to wake up any minute. Queen Ella of Charming was beautiful, blonde, painted like something out of a storybook illustration. Her face was barely creased, though she had to be well into her 40s now. Did time slow with the sleeping curse? Dennis pressed his lips briefly to Kai's forehead. "Getting you back," he whispered fiercely. "They didn't try hard enough. I will." When Camilla returned from upstairs, she was lugging a bedroll and several pillows with her. She set up the bed quietly in the corner, and Dennis brought Kai over to lay down on the soft layers. "We can arrange something more permanent," she said softly, "if..." "That's not going to be necessary," he cut her off. "Of course not," she said, too quickly. "Not now Sarge has the witch who kidnapped him in custody. We'll get our answers. Finally." Camilla stared down at her brother, as if trying to memorize his face. Dennis looked at her, at the black magical tattoos on her pale skin and the close-cropped dark curls of her hair. She didn't look like anyone's idea of a princess, but Kai, so calm and handsome in his sleep, layered beneath purple and gold satin covers, he looked more like a prince than ever. "Do you think she was lying about your father's involvement?" he asked. "I don't know," Camilla said softly. "Is Kai safe?" he pressed. "You said those with a blood connection have access to this tower. The king has access to this tower. Camilla gave him a quick look, as if her first instinct was to be startled that Dennis did not trust the king. Then she sighed. You're right, of course. I'll take the king's sigil off the wards. He won't be able to enter the tower alone, not without me or one of my brothers. I'll reconsider once we have our answers, but you're right not to trust him. And will you put me on your wards? Dennis asked. He had to ask. Camilla hesitated. Trust, he said, trying not to let his fury take over. Yeah, I can see that would be difficult for you. I will take care of him, Camilla insisted. I'll keep him safe. Dennis looked down at Kai, hating this. But he still walked away. From Camilla, from Kai, and the tower itself. It was the hardest thing he had ever done, knowing he was reliant on Camilla's kindness to let him back in. He needed answers, and for that, he had to leave Kai's side. For now. What Dennis wanted to do was to head straight for the doghouse and convince the Sarge to let him sit in on the interrogation of Kai's foster mother, the witch. But that wasn't going to happen. Sarge had made it very clear that Dennis was to consider himself on leave from the hounds until this was sorted out. He had to trust that Corporal Jack and Zee would tell him what they could afterwards. Trust. There was that word again. Freed of today's duties, at least, Dennis headed into town, making straight for the offices of the Charming Herald. Amira Chaudhry was at her desk. A bold, attractive woman with bob-dark hair, she had been Kai's friend and mentor for months, before she screwed him over for the sake of a cheap headline. Dennis didn't trust Amira as far as he could throw her, but he couldn't afford to be choosy. He marched up to her desk and stood over her, glowering. She glanced up. Well, hello, tall, blonde and brooding. Your boyfriend's late to work. I need to know everything about spinning wheels and sleeping curses, Dennis said shortly. Amira's eyes narrowed. Where's Kai? Dennis leaned in. She wasn't the kind of woman to be intimidated by his bulk, but you used what tools you had to work with. You have newspapers from other kingdoms, right? Does this happen anywhere else, or is it just local? I'm not at your beck and call, sniped Amira. But her eyes were watchful, challenging him. She was clearly not stupid and knew something was up. Newspapers are not a personalized service. Dennis leaned in. Help me, and I promise you the exclusive to the biggest royal story this newspaper has ever broken, he said. Amira blinked. That's a big claim. Bigger than bigger, he promised. The biggest. Amira glanced around briefly. The archive room is on the third floor, she said quietly. I'll meet you there in 10 minutes. But you'd better not be lying about size, handsome. That would be unforgivable. Dennis paced, waiting for her. When Amira blew in, it was with a stack of papers and a lot of questions. Okay, so Kai has never been late to work once. He's revoltingly good. And I covered for him, but I need to know what the hell is going on and why his boyfriend is here asking questions about spinning wheels. Dennis waited. And when you say big, exactly what kind of royal story do you think you can blow the whistle on? Because after the year we've had... We have a lead on the lost prince, he interrupted her, since she was clearly not going to take a breath any time soon. That's the story I'm offering you. Amira stopped. Momentarily silenced. If that's true, and they find out you told me, they will fire you so fast your boots won't touch the ground. I don't care about my job, Dennis said, which was a flat-out lie. Where would he go if the castle kicked him out? Home to the mountains? He needed to be near Kai, and being a hound was the only way to be sure of that. Cool, said Amira. I don't care about your job either. Let's get to the juicy part. Where is Prince Camden? There was that name again. The wrong name. Dennis flinched. I need to know if anyone's ever broken a sleeping curse, he said doggedly. Find that out for me, and I'll tell you. No, said Amira, folding her arms. That's not how this works. We're in this together, or we're not. I've been trying to get my editor to publish a spinning wheel panic story for weeks, and he won't budge, not without some new twist on the fairy tale. Give me my twist, and we have a deal. Why do you care so much about sleeping curses all of a sudden? Because a spinning wheel got Kai, Dennis blurted. He didn't trust this woman. Even Kai didn't trust her anymore. But she was good at what she did, and he needed someone with brains and resources. He was desperate, and right now he felt very alone. He needed someone who was just as invested in solving this, even if it was for her own selfish ambition. He's currently under a sleeping curse, in Princess Camilla's tower, with the Queen. Amira stared at him. But spinning wheel curses are for royals. Only and always, that's how the story works. Yeah, said Dennis awkwardly. So that's the thing. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Follow me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.